any patients in your practice that, for example, you've made any decisions on, you started out on therapy in the last maybe few weeks, that might be a case we could go through to sort of give us a better idea how you evaluate a patient individually, maybe an older patient or somebody who wasn't quite so straightforward? Anybody pop into your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a very interesting case of a 62-year-old lady who presented to me after being circulated amongst a number of doctors, not oncologists, but a number of doctors with renal insufficiency, creatinine of about 2.5, 2.6, and a nephrologist then did a 24-hour urine and detected a significant amount of urinary protein. She then came to us and had a fair number of plasma cells in the marrow and had very complex cytogenetics. Not hyperdiploid, but hypodiploid with deletion of 13, 17p deletion. And so we wanted to start her on initial therapy, but with a creatinine of 2.7, RVD would have been a little bit of a dicier issue. So for her, we actually started her on VTD, and she had a very nice response. After three cycles of therapy, normalized her free light ratio, eliminated her urine paraprotein, and after four cycles, again, mobilized stem cells and collected them without any difficulty. But then the question was, this is a high-risk patient who appears to have achieved a CR. What are we going to do with this patient?
What happened to her renal function, incidentally?
Came down to a baseline of about 1.9. So it did come down some, but you know, she'd had renal insufficiency for close to 7 months now. And I think what we're learning is if you're going to reverse renal insufficiency with plasma cell disorders, you got to do it quick, because we've seen a number of patients on dialysis who with VTD came off dialysis within 2 months. So again, the rapidity of response is critically important. So we had a long talk with her saying, we could take you to transplant, but I know that the median progression-free survival for you is 8 to 10 months with high-dose therapy and transplant with these cytogenetics in this presentation. And so we switched her over to RVD. Her creatinine had normalized enough that we could treat her with lenalidomide without any difficulty. She received an additional four cycles of RVD and is now on single-agent lenalidomide maintenance and continues to be in CR. I think that sort of balancing toxicities and trying to weigh in risk stratification to make decisions are part of what we do on a day-to-day basis. And it's hard to create an algorithm that tells you how to do this, because you're looking at the patient in front of you, seeing what they can tolerate, what they can't tolerate. I had another patient who's 72 years old who had low-risk myeloma that could simply not tolerate RVD, could not tolerate dexamethasone at all.
What happened? Why couldn't he tolerate it?
So it was just generalized weakness, fatigue, and we even took the dex off and just used lenalidomide and bortezomib, and she still was unable to tolerate this, lost a lot of weight, wasn't able to take care of herself, and this was a relatively fit 72-year-old when she came to me, and so we've now switched her over to a melphalan-based regimen because these kinds of approaches are simply not going to be changing with what I'm seeing in front of me. She's not going to tolerate a transplant. She's not going to tolerate this kind of an induction.
The art of medicine, the art of oncology.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, it doesn't fit very nicely with those Medicare guideline figures.